Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. I want to welcome our first-time visitors this morning. We just trust you'll be blessed. Amen. It's good to have Mike and Jan back today, all healed up. And, well, pretty close. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. New American Standard reads, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Praise the Lord. The Amplified Version reads, "In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have put or once put off." People are slaves to all kinds of emotions and behavior. Paul says to stand firm against them because you have been set free from them. We see it today. People are bound by fear. People are bound by jealousy and greed and idolatry and strife. Lust, envy, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, people are bound. And the sad thing is a lot of them are people that are in the church. But Paul is talking here about, you know, being in freedom. Jesus Christ has set us free. Amen? The word liberty here in the Greek, it means to do or omit things having no relation to salvation. Amen? You don't have to live that way anymore. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in bondage to fear. You don't have to live in bondage to jealousy or envy. You can get out of that stuff. When you became a new creature in Christ, all that thing, everything was passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen? He says to stand means to persevere or to persist. To persist. It's not just when you become a Christian doesn't mean that everything just magically becomes perfect in your life and you can do everything that you want to do. You're still going to have your flesh rise up and want to do some of the same old things it's always done. Amen? The same old habits, the same old things. And if you've been a Christian for a while, maybe you were set free from those things, but the longer you're removed from them, then all of a sudden you may have the thought that it's coming back. You're tempted. You've got to stand against those things. Amen? Jesus Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and NIV Version says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It has the idea that you're voluntarily submitting back to those things. Amen? You're going back and doing things that you were being set free from and things you haven't done in the past. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Praise the Lord. The Message paraphrase reads, "Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth. The truth will free you." Hallelujah. talks about abiding, continuing on, staying with things. Amen? How many of you know that and experienced when you became a Christian that it wasn't always easy? Amen? How many of you know sometimes today it's still not easy? Amen? When you're trying to live the Christian life, when you're trying to walk in love, when you're trying to live as the Word says, it's not always easy. Amen? And the enemy wants you to disconnect from the things of God. He wants you to disconnect from God. He wants you to disconnect from people that can speak in your life, because he doesn't want you abiding in the Word. Jesus said, you abide in me, you abide in my Word. You stay hooked up in there and you'll discover the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. John 8, verse 36. 8:36, it says, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Amplified says, if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. You're going to have to abide in the Word. You're going to have to stay hooked up. Amen? Because if you don't, things are going to come against you, and you're going to drift back into the way that you used to be. Have you seen that in people's lives? I have. Yes. Seen people that were in the church on fire for God, just had a passion for God, and today they're not even serving God. Because they got off track and they didn't abide in Jesus. They didn't stand in the liberty. They didn't persevere. Amen? They didn't persist. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I want to look at some things that bind us and keep us from really becoming all that God wants us to be. The book of Galatians is all about freedom. The whole theme of the book of Galatians, that written by Paul and the Holy Spirit, says is don't let anybody or anything steal your freedom. That's what it's all about. Paul talks time and time again about not giving in to things and not following things. Amen? Look at Galatians chapter 1 again. Galatians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Verse 6, Galatians 1, 6 says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul talks about people throwing you off your game. Amen? One translation says that evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the things that he talks about here, if you turn over to Galatians chapter 5, one of the way that you can get off track and you can lose your freedom in Christ and go back into that bondage state is becoming distracted. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, Paul says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." Amen. Hold your place there in Galatians and turn to Mark chapter 5. You can become distracted. You can get off track. Even with some good things. Doesn't necessarily have to be bad. You can get off track. You can become involved in things that take more of your time. Here in Mark chapter 4, talks about this, the sower sowing the seed. In verse 18, he said, "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You can get off track just by being distracted. He says to the Galatians, You were running a good race, basically. Somebody cut in on you. Paul's saying, what happened to you guys? You were making such good progress. You were winning the race. You were going great. What happened to you? People do not start out their Christian life expecting not to finish. Everybody gets saved and they're all excited. Amen? But if the enemy can entice you to the point that you get off course and quit running the Christian race as you should, he will intrigue you with something that piques your interest. A new hobby. A new boat. Amen. A new house, whatever it may be. He'll get you off. He'll get you distracted. Maybe you got offended at something that somebody said. A little yeast, he talks about, sneaks in and begins to affect the whole thing. The purpose is to get you off from abiding in the truth. Amen? It wants to draw you away from the truth. You may have a check in your spirit that is just not right, yet you're caught up in the emotion of that thing and you just keep going that way. And the Holy Spirit's saying, don't do that. Don't hang out with them. Don't go that direction. And we there's times we listen to the Holy Spirit. And I know I may be the only one. There's times where I've missed the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. It may not appear evil at all. It may not be evil at all. Amen. And somebody may point it out to you and say, "Yeah, you're spending an awful lot of time on that." And you kind of get angry with them when they point it out to you. Don't become distracted. We have to remember to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. Don't abandon the truths that have been revealed to you. Stay hooked up. Yes. Amen. Run the race how Christ wants you to run the race, not how other people want you to run the race.
That's good.
Amen. You lose your freedom, you lose your joy, and frustration will set in. You lose the excitement of the race. Amen. You lose the excitement of the Christian life. Don't lose your excitement. Stay hooked up. Stay abiding in the thing. You know, in a race, when's the most exciting time in the race?
The finish.
Amen? You're running the race, and a lot of people, they veer off track. You know, if you're off only 1 degree from here to there, it's not very much, but by the time you get back there, it's quite a ways. Amen? You're also anticipation. When's the anticipation the greatest? It's when the race starts. Amen. And people, you ever notice young Christians and people that are just born again, how excited they are? How on fire they are? I love to be around young Christians, be around people that are just on fire for the things of God. Amen. They just want to know more, and they want to know more, and they want to know more. Amen. Don't lose that excitement. Stay hooked up. Stay abiding in God. Amen. New believers couldn't care less what's going on around them. They're just so happy and so excited about being believers. They're praying. They're thanking God. They have a great attitude. They don't care what other people think. Amen. They only want to please the Lord. When you say that Jesus is coming back, they don't get into a discussion whether you're pre, mid, or post-trib. They just look up. Amen. Hallelujah. We must base our lives on the truth of God's word and nothing else. We got to stay abiding in the word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My hope is that we have a church here where people have the freedom to be real. Amen. Amen. I always tell people, what you see is what you get. Amen. I'm not going to put on some thing of spirituality or whatever. We're all just walking through this together. Amen. If you've got problems, you've got difficulties, you've got some hang-ups, you need to be around people where you can say, look, I'm struggling right now. I need somebody to help me. Amen. And when you say that, people aren't going to judge you and look at you in that way. They're going to love you and they're going to accept you because we've all been in the same boat. Might be in the boat right there with you, right then. Amen? Everybody here has made mistakes. Everybody here has blown it. Don't quit. Amen? Don't get distracted. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Galatians chapter 3. Don't get distracted. Another thing where it'll rob you of your freedom, but it'll also rob you of your joy, is don't become legalistic. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, "You poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians." Paul was always just to the point, wasn't he? He never really pulled any punches. "Who is fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you, unto whom right before your very eyes Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Was it from observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? Are you so foolish and senseless and so silly? Having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? Have you suffered so many things and experienced so much all for nothing to no purpose? If it really is no purpose or in vain, then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands, or because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message that you heard?
That's good.
Amen. Paul basically saying, you guys got off track. You started out in the Spirit. You started out by faith, and everything was by faith. And now you've turned into everything's legalistic. Amen? They give you the idea that you become a Christian by grace through faith, but then you live the Christian life by works, and you've got to be perfect in everything that you do. Amen. Now, we are to live a sanctified life and put the flesh under, but nobody's going to be perfect. Amen. A lot of people, no matter what they do or have done, they feel like they're just not doing good enough. They feel as if they're serving an unpleasable God. God is always saying, can't you measure up, shape up, get with it? No matter how much they do, no matter how hard they serve the Lord, it's never good enough. We just got to remember, our freedom isn't based on our performance. Our righteousness isn't based on our performance. Our righteousness is based on who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us.
Amen.
Amen? Legalism will steal your joy. Everything has just got to be perfect. Amen. Everything in the service has to be perfect for God to move. Every song has to be perfect. The message has to be perfect. Amen. I've shared the story before about we had a guest minister come to our church one time, and he'd come before, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't like him very much. He was kind of rude, standoffish. I just was like, he was arrogant, yes. Didn't like him. And our pastor said, well, he's coming here. He's going to be here on Wednesday night. And he's going to be through the neighborhood, so he's going to preach here Wednesday night. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, nah. I'm not coming. So I told our pastor, I said, I won't be here Wednesday night because I didn't like the way he treated people. I didn't like the way that he acted. I won't be here. Well, how many of you know that the Holy Spirit had different ideas? And the Holy Spirit convicted me that I needed to go. So we went, and he was totally different. I mean, from the get-go, he was totally different. He was walking around talking to people, joking and laughing, and I was like, wow, what happened to this guy? Well, he shared that night that he had always, everything in the service had to be perfect. Everything had to just go as perfectly scripted. Everything had to do just right. He had to play just the right song. that everybody had to just be locked in a certain way. Everything had to be perfect in order for God to move. Well, he told the story and he shared this. And he talked about that he was preaching at a friend of his church. And he said as he was preaching, he said, a loogie came flying out of his mouth. And he said he was humiliated. He said it wasn't just a little spit. He said this was like the size of a Tic Tac. And he said he was like totally humiliated that God couldn't possibly move now. That's legalism. Amen. And he said as he was sitting there, and he was humiliated, and he looked down and he closed his eyes and he was thinking of closing the service. He said he heard his good friend who was the pastor just crack up laughing. And he looks out and his good friend is on his knees on the front pew hitting the floor laughing uncontrollably. And then the whole church erupts because the pastor's laughing. It must be okay to laugh, right? And he said, I'm humiliated. He said, I'm thinking, what is going on? God can't possibly move. And he said, he looked down and he said, I was going to close the service. And he said, I closed my Bible. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You think this is all on you? And he said, I was like, wow. No, Lord. He said, yeah, you do. You think it's all about you. You think everything has to be perfect. So he opened back up his Bible and he waited till the laughter subsided and he went on and preached and he said the Holy Spirit moved in a mighty way after the service. People healed, people filled with the Spirit. He said it was just amazing. See, legalism can steal your joy. It can make you arrogant. Amen? And he joked about, yeah, he said, I heard there was a guy here that didn't really want to come tonight because of the way I acted the last time I was here. And he walked down and he handed me a set, a thing of CDs. And he said, would you make sure he gets that? And I said, I'll take care of it. Amen. So don't get legalistic. After you become a Christian, don't get legalistic. Everything you do is based on grace. Yes. Amen. Doesn't give you a license to sin. Doesn't give you anything like that. But you got to realize that we're just free in Jesus Christ. He set us free. He set us free from legalism. He set us free from the law. Amen? We don't have to base our relationship on Jesus based on our performance. Praise God. Amen? Don't get over into legalism and lose your freedom and in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Legalism will destroy your peace also. It'll suck the life right out of you. Your relationship with God becomes a burden rather than a blessing. Amen. You always feel like you can never measure up. Paul said that is foolish. Amen? Of course you're never going to measure up to God's standards. That's why he sent Jesus. Amen? To redeem us, to justify us, to set us free. Hallelujah. God loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. He loved you before you ever got saved. Amen? For God so loved the world. He looked down through eternity and he's seen all your little peculiarities and your quirks and the things that you do wrong and the things you struggle with, and he sent Jesus for you anyway. Hallelujah. He loves you on your good days. He loves you on your bad days. Amen. He loves you when you have quiet times. He loves you when you don't have a quiet time. He loves you when you blow it. Amen. He still loves you no matter what. Don't get so legalistic that it robs you of your freedom of who you are in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 4. The third thing. Don't get distracted. Don't become legalistic. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have become to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. He says, I fear for you in verse 11. That perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Don't become religious. Amen? Don't become religious. Jesus set you free. After becoming a Christian, now you're going back to the rules and regulations and rituals that are set in place by religion. Amen. Romans 10, 3 and 4 says they're trying to make themselves good enough to gain God's favor by keeping laws and customs, but that's not God's way of salvation. They don't understand that Christ gives to those who trust him everything they are trying to get by keeping his laws. Christ ends all that. The Christian life is about grace, and it's about trust. In Jesus' day, it was a very religious, strict society. Amen? In New Testament Palestine, there were rules and spiritual policemen. They called them the Pharisees. They were always trying to correct Jesus. They were always pointing out, you're breaking the law. You healed that man on the Sabbath. They were the only people that Jesus ever got upset with was the religious Pharisees. They went around with clipboards checking on everybody. They were continually questioning people, asking questions, asking people where they stood. They had thousands of rules, thousands of regulations. They kept score on everybody. Jesus went to the same Pharisees, those same religious people, and he called them phonies. He called them hypocrites. You make up rules that you even can't keep yourselves. God is a God of relationships, not of rules. Amen. Be aware of becoming religious. Jesus chose to heal people on the Sabbath because he wanted to make a point. Amen. People are more important than policies. They could have cared less. We looked at this when we were talking about them living in the miraculous, about how Jesus healed them, and they were more upset about Jesus healing them than they were excited about somebody gotten healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. People love to make rules and lists to measure their maturity. I used to have this track. I don't have it anymore. I might have somewhere. But I got a tract a few years ago. Somebody handed it to me on the street. And on the front of it, it said, Jesus says don't. That sounds like rules and regulations to me, right? The God of do's and don'ts. You open it, and then on the inside there was a list of 40 things that you shouldn't do. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't live, as I said, a sanctified, pure life. But these were some of the things it had on here. Don't have long hair. Don't wear gold or pearls. Don't believe those who teach anything not found or read from the King James Version. Amen. Don't tell jokes or act the clown or use puppets to explain the Word of God. Don't say no when you're asked for money.
Who gave that?
I don't even remember. Don't join the armed forces to defend the country. Don't use unions to sell or ask for a wage increase. Don't forget you're saved by works after conversion. That's just some of them. Religion. It's not even the truth. Amen. Paul wrote the book of Galatians to say, don't become distracted, don't become a legalist, and don't become religious. Rules and regulations. Amen.
Yes.
If you want to kill something, or if you want something to kill the joy, the peace in your life, concentrate on rules rather than your relationship with the Lord. Religious people aren't very happy. Amen. Legalists aren't very happy. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus quoted several times in Scripture. He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Christian life, as I said, is based on relationships, not rules. It's my relationship to God. Do I love God? It's my relationship to other people. Do I love other people? If I love God and I love other people, I've got it. I've taken the first step. Amen. Don't lose your freedom. Amen. Don't get bound by things that are in the world. Don't be overcome by them. We just need to stick with what the Word says. Amen. Jesus has set us free.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad He set me free.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I was bound by alcohol, I was bound by countless things, and He set me free. Praise God. I was a jerk. Some of you might still... don't say, well, you haven't changed much, Pastor. No. He set us free. Amen? It's about freedom. It's about living the life in a relationship with God Almighty. Amen. And we don't get off track, and we don't listen to what rules and regulations try to tell us, well, you need to conform to this way. No, I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I'm doing what the Word says. Amen? Read for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for setting us free. Setting us free, Lord, from those old behaviors, those old habits. Setting us free from legalism and religion, Lord. And Lord, it's my prayer that everyone who's here today and who listens to this later on, Lord, would just be encouraged. Lord, that they are free. And that you love them unconditionally, Father. And I just thank you and praise you that we just remember those things throughout this week. And when things come to tend to distract us or we feel unworthy because we've missed it, Lord, that we'll just repent and we'll just get right back in our relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for that. Praise you for that. Just pray that you just loose your angels to go before us, to prepare the way as we leave this place today and throughout this day and through this week. Just loose them to watch over us and protect us in all that we do. And Father, we thank you for these things and praise you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise